Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
Glory is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires are known. From you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, whom in the Paschal mystery established the new covenant of reconciliation, grant that all who have been reborn into the fellowship of Christ's body may show forth in their lives what they profess by their faith. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from Acts of the Apostles. When the captain and the temple police had brought the apostles out of the temple, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in his name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Revelation to John. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked because of their fear, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples, they rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
In our gospel reading today, it is the evening of the first day of the week. Jesus was crucified several days earlier. The disciples have locked themselves in a room. They are scared, they are confused, and they're grieving. They're scared because they don't know whether the Jewish authorities or the Roman authorities are going to come after them like they came after Jesus. They're confused because they've lost their mentor, their spiritual director, and they don't know where to go. They don't know what to do next. And they're grieving the loss of Jesus, their friend, person they spent 3 years in ministry with, they grew to love, and who grew to love them and showed that by washing their feet. And in the midst of all that fear and confusion and grief, Jesus appears among them. But they don't immediately recognize him. And that seems to happen in so many of the post-resurrection stories that Jesus makes appearance. The people don't seem to recognize him immediately. And sometimes he has to do something to trigger that recognition. It happened earlier that same day. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and found that it was empty, and she became fretful. She looked for somebody to talk to, and she found a gardener who really wasn't a gardener, who was really Jesus. But she didn't recognize him. And Jesus, she says to him, "Do you have the body?" And then Jesus says to her, "Mary." And immediately she recognized him. Because of being so disturbed about the missing body, she couldn't see that Jesus was standing right next to her. And Jesus had to take a step closer and do something else to show that he was there. And in that locked room where Jesus appeared, Jesus then spoke to the disciples and said, "Shalom, peace be with you." And they still didn't yet recognize him. Then he put out his arms and showed his hands and the mark of his hands, and they saw it immediately and believed in him and rejoiced. This makes me wonder, why did Jesus' resurrection body have the marks of the violence that had been heaped upon him while he was living on earth? I don't know about you, But the resurrection body that I have someday, I certainly don't want to be the body that I die in. Whether that's in a car accident tomorrow or 30 years from now, all wrinkly. I don't want to be in that body. I was sharing this with D. Taylor earlier in the week, and he shared a story with me, a friend of his. She's in a wheelchair, and she said, I want my wheelchair in heaven with me. And I thought about that, and I thought that was really cool, because that's how she identifies herself. And when I said that word to myself, it made me think about this passage and what Jesus did. He chose to have those marks on his hands so the disciples could identify him. He did it for them. And he did it again for Thomas a week later. Poor old doubting Thomas, right? Maybe Thomas was the smartest one. He knew he needed to see the hands. The disciples had to see the hands, but maybe they didn't know it. But Jesus moved closer to them to the point where they could finally recognize who he was, even in all the confusion of their fear and grief and confusion. And this reminded me of a story. And you guys might remember this. This goes back quite a ways to 2001. But there were a couple of missionaries, a married couple, missionaries to the Philippines. They'd been there 16 years, raising three kids there. And in May of 2001, they chose to take a two-day break to go to a resort area and celebrate their 18th anniversary. At 4 o'clock in the morning, Islamic militants broke into their room and took them hostage, along with 18 other people in that resort. For over a year, they were held hostage by this group. And they were held hostage in the jungles of the Philippines, not in any kind of house or anything. They were constantly on the move because the Philippine military was trying to rescue them, and they were constantly moving. They didn't have the proper clothes, shoes. They were starving all the time. They had sores in their mouth. At the and this got some notoriety on TV because 9/11 occurred. They were in that situation when 9/11 occurred, and this group had some Osama bin Laden ties. And so in the spring of 2002, while they were still hostage, there were a lot of reports about this couple. And it got down to the point that there were only three hostages left. The militants had killed a couple of them. They'd ransomed some of the others off, and it was still Gracia Burnham and Martin Burnham, the husband and wife, plus one young nurse. The Philippine military tried 17 times to rescue them. And each of those ended in a gun battle that the militants won. The 17th time was in June of 2002, after a full year. And it ended up in tragedy. All three hostages were shot. The young girl was killed. Martin Burnham was shot in the chest and died. And Gracia Burnham was shot in the leg and survived. It's the only piece of good news that came out of that. And she was rescued, and she came home to the States. And there were lots of people asking to give her for television interviews, for her to tell her story, and she consented and did this and wrote a book. And her story was more about her journey of faith with God than the horror of being with the captives. And she has a short story in there that she calls A Hamburger in the Jungle. She refers to her whole year as a year in the jungle. So at one point in time, well, before I go to there, she shared how her faith was waning. And she was getting to the point that she could not see God anymore in the jungle with her. And she was losing her faith. She still prayed some. And she didn't know what to do. They were desperate. And one day, she prayed for a hamburger. And she laughed at herself because she knew there's no way that she was going to get a hamburger. But it made her feel better. and she was desperate for American food. Sometimes they would go 7 or 8 days without eating. Well, one day they happened to be camping pretty close. They're in the jungle, but relatively close to a large city. And some of the militants went into the city to get supplies, and they brought them back hamburger fries and a Coke. Unbelievable story. And she said that was the best hamburger she ever had. But more importantly, it was knowing that God or that Jesus was right there beside her in her journey, in her time of trial and her suffering, and he gave her renewed hope. And at the time when her husband died, she remembered that incident of the hamburger, and it continued to give her that faith that God would be there with her through that suffering and grief as well. And I believe that when we're in a time of trial, that Jesus is right alongside of us. When things are going great, it's easy to see God everywhere, right? See God in nature, see people helping people. But when things aren't going so well in time of suffering, sometimes you can get in such a fog, you cannot even see God that's right along the side of you. And what God does then is moves a little bit closer so you know that God is there. That is what God did for Gracia. I think that's what God does for all of us. And the other side of the coin is we're called to go out into the world to be God's hands and feet. Just like Jesus did in that locked room with those disciples, he breathed on them, gave them the Holy Spirit, and sent them out in the world. Jesus, God, will be with us during our time of trial, but he wants us to be the ones that go out to the other people who are in their jungle and show them that God is next to them and is with them and will journey with them through their time of trial. Amen.
Amen.
Will you please stand with me to profess your faith by reciting the Nicene Creed found on page 9 in the bulletin. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate in the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, according to the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism with forgiveness of sin. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Prayers of the people. In the glory of the paschal light, we pray to God. God, awake those who sleep. Rise in us from death. Bring newness and change to your church, O God, that we might serve you with courage and grace. Bring new hope to your world, O God, that we all might know the goodness of your love.
Make us instruments of your peace.
Lead us from the empty tomb to proclaim your grace in this nation and inspire our leaders toward peace and cooperation.
In Easter, we lend to honor one another and serve the common good.
The resurrected Christ is a mission of hope to those who suffer. We especially pray for those on our prayer list. Margaret,
Steve,
Nicole,
J.R.,
Jonathan,
Paul,
Marie,
Jenny,
Martha,
Renee,
Brian,
David,
Tay,
Richard,
Virginia,
Irene,
Jim,
Michael,
Laura,
Baylor,
Shay,
Pat,
Alberta,
Tom,
Jenny,
Tony,
Zach,
Chuck,
Betsy,
Michael,
Claire,
Georgina,
Joyce,
Bill,
Martha,
Shane,
Judy,
Pat,
Morgan
Ray,
David,
Randy,
Judy,
Jeff,
Melody,
Barbara,
Patricia,
Norma,
Elaine,
Sherry,
Jason,
Corey,
Nate,
and all those who you now name.
Pray for all our visitors to our pantry. We pray for a homeless man who was found unconscious yesterday.
We pray for the members of our armed forces. We give thanks to those celebrating birthdays, especially David Sherrill. We give thanks for those celebrating an anniversary, especially Judy and James Short and Rosemary and Pat Park. God, reassure us.
So that we may know the healing power of your love.
After you were raised, you ate and drank with the disciples. Bring us and all who have died peace and assurance of the resurrection.
Remind us daily to share your eternal kingdom.
In the Easter light, change our hearts that we might grow larger in faith and hope.
Christ has burnt from the tomb.
Sorry.
I'm still in your line.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Christ has burst forth from the tomb, making all things new. Grant that we may now live by faith and with joy behold the coming of your resurrection work in the world around us. Friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
Thank you. keep on, man.
Here's my last piece here. Peace to you, Courtney. Good morning, everyone.
Happy Easter.
So, some things to talk about. Said this at St. Albans. I'm going to say it here. When you definitely will, because we live in this part of the country. When you see your Baptist friends this week, the first thing you say is Happy Easter. That's the first thing you say to them. And they're said, well, Easter was a couple weeks ago. And then that's your in right there. Then you say, oh, no, us Episcopalians, when you come with us on Sunday, we celebrate Easter for like 5 weeks. And then they'll be like, what? Easter for 5 weeks? And, of course, they'll come to church with you. So that's your strategy of the week. That's your evangelism strategy of the week. There it is. All right. So we got a lot going on in Easter to make you aware of. On Wednesdays and Easters, we're doing Resurrection Wednesday. This past Wednesday, we were at Mad Priest Coffee House. We talked about ecological issues. We talked about, things that we might do to celebrate this the spirituality of this wonderful gift that we have of being a planet and a body. And that was a good time. Gaines did a lot of jokes at that thing. He was there. So it's a fun time. So this coming Wednesday, you have an opportunity to come, and we're going to meet at St. Albans this time at 6 o'clock. Bring a covered dish, if you like, for dinner. We'll meet at 6 o'clock. We'll say a little prayer, and then we'll go over to Hickson United Methodist Church. Or you can just meet us there at 6:30 with a covered dish. They, at Hickson United Methodist, they do a ministry called Fuel for School, which feeds like 400 children on the weekends. And so we're just going to go and talk to them about that and see how we might be inspired. I have it on good authority that middle schools and high schools are in big need of the same ministry. They serve elementary age folks. So there might be some opportunities for us here. So we're just going to go and be inspired and talk to those folks and see what the resurrected Jesus is doing out there in the world around us. Hence, we call it Resurrection Wednesdays. Okay. This coming Saturday, if you're interested, St. Albans is planting plants in their garden in the back. If you haven't had a chance, you're all invited to join a co-op out there, and that co-op gives you the opportunity to come and weed. So if you want, join the co-op. It's $25. It also gives you produce from the co-op. And we're going to plant the plants this coming Saturday. There's also a class next Saturday on vegetables, on how to plant and do vegetables by a master gardener. That's at 10 o'clock. We're going to plant. It's at 10:30. We're going to plant before then and after then. So come on to St. Albans if you're interested in any of that. Just a word about liturgical things, Eucharistic things. So in the season of Easter, I invite us, it's your preference, but you'll notice that during the Eucharist, there's a couple things to be aware of. I should have brought a bulletin. Let me have your bulletin. Yes. Page number, if you'll look with me. Page number 12. Okay, so it goes over to 13 there. You see that Sanctus that we sing together. And then it says, the celebrate continues. It's customary to kneel at that point. And if that's what you want to do, that's fine. In Easter, I invite you to stand at that point. Because in the Easter season, we remain standing. I don't know if you've also noticed, but we've taken the confession of sins out for the Easter season. These are all things appropriate to the season when we're reminded of God's overabundant love towards us. So we're trying to remind ourselves. So I invite you to stand. I also want to make you aware of something else. If you turn to page 14 there, we're going to do, and this is probably a first for St. Thaddeus, we're going to do the words of institution together. That's a part of this prayer. So it's in bold there. So we're going to do the take, eat, this is my body, and drink this, all of you. We'll do that together. Okay. You are forewarned about the changes in your liturgy. Also, a word of change, at the end of this season, at the end of the Easter season, in Pentecost, which is in June, this baptismal font is going to go to the back, and the presider chair is going to move out so that I can see your lovely faces when I'm sitting back there. So that's what I need. I need to see you, and you see me, so we know that Christ is in each other. That's a big part of it for me. So I'm going to move the presider chair over. So that's going to happen not anytime real soon, but in June. Okay. Gaines, anything else that I'm... No? All right. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us in an offering and a sacrifice to the Most High. We offer this Eucharist in the glory of God Almighty and in thanksgiving for the resurrection, but also in thanksgiving for the ministry of prayer shawls as we bless this handmade prayer shawl for use by one of our parishioners. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We praise you and we bless you, holy and gracious God, source of life abundant. From before time you made ready the creation, your spirit moved over the deep and brought all things into being. Sun, moon, stars, earth, winds, and waters, and every living thing. You made us in your image, and you taught us to walk in your ways. But we rebelled against you and wandered far away. And yet, as a mother cares for her children, you would not forget us. Time and again you called us to live in the fullness of your love. And so this day we join with saints and angels in the chorus of praise that rings through eternity, lifting our voices to magnify you as we sing. And honor and praise to you, holy and living God, to deliver us from the power of sin and death and to reveal the riches of your grace. You looked with favor upon Mary, your willing servant, that she might conceive and bear a son, Jesus, the Holy Child of God. Living among us, Jesus loved us. He broke bread with outcasts and sinners, healed the sick, and proclaimed good news to the poor. He yearned to draw the whole world to himself, yet we were heedless of his call to walk in love. Then the time came for him to complete upon the cross the sacrifice of his life and to be glorified by you. On the night before he died for us, Jesus was at table with his friends. He took bread, gave thanks to you, broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." As supper was ending, Jesus took the cup of wine. Again, he gave thanks to you, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for remembrance of me." Now gathered at your table, O God of all creation, and remembering Christ crucified and risen, who was and is to come, we offer to you our gifts of bread and wine, and ourselves a living sacrifice. Pour out your Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the body and blood of Christ. Breathe your Spirit over the whole earth, and make us your new creation, the body of Christ given for the world you have made. In the fullness of time, bring us with Martin Berman, with Mary Magdalene, with Saint Thaddeus and all your saints from every tribe and language and people and nation to feast at the banquet prepared from the foundation of the world. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to you be honor, glory, and praise forever and ever.
Amen.
And as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." These are the gifts of God. For you, the people of God, come taste and see that God is good. Thank you. Let us pray together. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and sinless of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, go forth into the world in peace and be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen those who are faint-hearted. Support those folks in need. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you this day in Easter and remain with you always.
Amen. Amen.
Alleluia, alleluia. Let us go forth rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thanks.